Bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, and bless the Lord who made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. I just read to you a whole chapter out of the Bible, Psalm 134. Just 3 verses long, but it's good, isn't it? In fact, it is so short and so good, I think I'll read it to you again. That psalm again says, Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, and bless the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. What a good exhortation first thing in the morning to reach our hearts and our ears, that we are to bless God. Lift up your hands and worship. What the Bible tells us to do. That's not reserved for any particular group of people. It's all the saints, anyone who loves God. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. For centuries and centuries and centuries, the uplifted hands have been an act of worship, I think an extension of the soul, kind of like antennas. As we lift up hands in worship and praise, it seems that it is the very depths of my soul reaching out to God. And if you have never done that, do it. It may shock a few of your fellow worshipers in church if they're not used to doing it, but it's a good thing to lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting and worship God. An extension of the soul reaching heavenward. I think that every day of our lives, we should have the sense that we are standing on holy ground, that God is saying to us, as we stand before the burning bush, take the shoes off your feet. You're standing on holy ground. Sometimes the act of worship, the words that we mouth, the prayers that we pray, the things that we recite, we can just simply do from memory. Instead of it coming from the heart, we can just do it from memory, and it ceases to mean very much to us because we get so familiar with the acts of worship and the ritual, and we've learned how to do it. We can do it without thinking, kind of like driving a car. You remember when you first started, especially with the old time shift, not the automatic, but the shift, where you had to use the clutch, and you had to concentrate every single second on what you were doing as you released that clutch at the right time and put it into gear at the right time and stepped on the gas at the right time to keep that automobile from jumping across the highway. It took time and effort and concentration. But the more you learned how to do it, then you didn't have to pay as much attention. You could just do it from memory, from habit, from tradition. You could be carrying on a conversation with someone else and at the same time just use the clutch and the gears and the gas just automatically without even thinking about it. That's how we do worship. We come to church and sing our songs and pray our prayers, and we're so used to doing it, our minds can be somewhere else. And our heart's not in it. And when that happens, we need revival. We need for God to touch us and stir us and shake us and make us realize that when we worship God, that is the most wonderful and exciting moment in the whole week. Lord, revive our souls. I need it. As we turn the eyes of our soul heavenward and just praise God and worship Him, and may Jesus, the one who died on Calvary's cross, become very real to us, to you and me. beautiful message and song, and that certainly is based on the scripture. You know where it is. Isaiah chapter 53, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." And the New Testament tells us the same thing, just like this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. "For he hath made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." The crucifixion, as gory, bloody, awful, horrible as it was, has become the hope of the Christian. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the preaching of the cross, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Jesus wounded for my transgressions and for yours. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's grace, God's grace. I don't deserve it. I don't work for it. I don't earn it. I don't come to the point in my life when God finally says, "Well, I think you're good enough now. I'm going to save you." No, we come just as we are, dressed in all of our rags and sins and habits and uncleanness. We come just as we are, knowing that the scripture says, "Whosoever will may come." And so I come just as I am. I don't dress myself up. I don't quit my sinning. I don't do anything. I just come to Jesus and I believe that he died for me to make redemption possible, to make salvation possible, to make God's forgiveness possible. And then as I come as a believer and I put my trust in him, knowing that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, then as I truly believe, the grace of God touches my heart. His new life comes into my life, and behold, a miracle happens. The Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new." And when grace really and truly touches the sinner's heart, his whole life is changed. People can tell the difference. He doesn't do the things he used to do. He doesn't talk the way he used to talk, walk as he used to walk. Grace has touched the heart. Now, if no change comes in one's life, that certainly means that grace has not touched the heart. Maybe they were carried along on the wave of sentimentality or emotionalism or something, but grace hasn't touched the heart. Because when I come to Jesus, crooked, undone, a darkened heart, lost in sin, I come to Jesus just as I am. And he receives me as a sinner. He forgives me and cleanses me, makes my heart as white as the driven snow. Then he changes my life. And he puts within my heart a desire to love God, to love him, and to fear him, and to walk close to him. And nothing would make me happier than to really endeavor to please my God. No, we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace, through faith in the finished work of Christ at Calvary. But then when that grace does its work, it changes me, and I start heading in a different direction. And if I'm not headed in a different direction, then something's wrong. Something hasn't happened. It didn't take. I need a fresh touch. Grace did not begin working in my heart, because when grace works in my heart, he makes a difference. Praise God. All because of Calvary. I want you to listen to a song that I love to hear over and over again. This was written by some friends of ours, Terry and Barbie Franklin, out of Nashville. Here is a song that they wrote, and it's called Calvary Came Through Once Again. I love to hear them sing it in person, and I love the recording of it. Listen to it. A song written by Terry and Barbie Franklin and sung by them. And see if it doesn't just lift you up to the heights of glory, right into the very presence of God. When it seemed that all was lost and I had failed, Calvary came through once again. Calvary came through once again. Oh, praise God. Listen to the words. I think it will minister to you. It is such a positive message. when I had failed, when it seemed that all was lost and gone, that's when Calvary came through again. Oh, praise God. Secret of his presence, how my soul delights to hide. Oh, how precious are the lessons which I learned at Jesus' side. Earthly cares can never vex me, neither trials lay me low. For when Satan comes to tempt me, to the secret place I go. When my soul is faint and thirsty, neath the shadow of his wing, there a cool and pleasant shelter, and a fresh and crystal spring, and my Savior rests beside me as we hold communion sweet. If I tried, I could not utter what he says when thus we meet. Only this I know. I tell him all my doubts and griefs and fears. Oh, how patiently he listens, and my drooping soul he cheers. Do you think he ne'er reproves me? What a false friend he would be if he never, never told me of the sins which he must see. Would you like to know the sweetness of the secret of the Lord? Go and hide beneath his shadow. This shall then be your reward. And whene'er you leave the silence of that happy meeting place, you must mind and bear the image of the Master in your face.
My soul is gone.
Thanks for joining with me during these 30 minutes of morning devotions. I'm so thankful that God has taken it upon himself the responsibility to lead and guide and direct each one of his children. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, the Bible says. Sometimes that pathway leads over mountains, sometimes through deep, dark valleys. Sometimes alongside troubled waters, sometimes by the still waters. Well, dear friends, thank you for joining with me in Morning Devotions today. This is John Thrasher. Our mailing address, Post Office Box 552, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. Have a good day. May the Lord just put his arms around you and lift you up close to his heart.